So again, my name is Nicole Coton.
I know I stand between us and break, so I'll try to make it fast. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the... I was doing this earlier. I timed my slides earlier, and I think I saved them, so it may jump forward, and I'm going to have to jump them back. But I'm going to talk to you today about the Indiana Primary Care Learning Collaborative in relation to population health and population health management in the primary care setting. I have nothing to disclose. The objectives for today are to describe the Learning Collaborative, discuss the importance and challenges of population health within primary care, and analyze clinical process and health outcome measures. So the state of Indiana is very similar to the rest of the nation. Approximately 50% of our adults report having a history of chronic disease. Heart disease is the leading cause of death within our state, and there are over 3 million of a population of 6.5 million overweight and obese adults. And so the way that, that we decided to start the Learning Collaborative was with the help of the State Public Health Actions Grant, also known as 1305. And the purpose of this grant was to bring chronic disease prevention programs to work together and strengthen state actions to address health risk behaviors, environments, and systems associated with diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and school health. And specifically, the Learning Collaborative is under Domain 3, or the Healthcare Systems Intervention. So does anybody work specifically under Domain 3 or 4 within 1305? Okay, a couple hands. So the goals of Domain 3 are to increase implementation of the quality improvement practices and team-based care within healthcare systems. So the way that we've defined healthcare systems within Indiana is through our federally qualified health centers, our community health centers, and our rural health clinics. And I'll make the distinction that these clinics who participated are state-funded, which is a little bit unique in comparison to some other states involved. Those who participated within the Learning Collaborative are 4 pilot sites indicated with the yellow cross, 23 indicated with the 23 within our cohort 2 with the blue dot, and then 8, which is currently going on in cohort 3 with the green dots. And the majority of you are probably not aware of the landscape within Indiana, but this reaches both rural and urban locations, and it captures, because of this healthcare system that we decided to use, a wide range of populations who are disproportionately affected by chronic disease, including African Americans, Hispanics, refugees, majority of the refugees being Burmese, and individuals with low socioeconomic status, underinsured, uninsured. Oh, there it goes again. So the way in which we utilize the Learning Collaborative is we are taking knowledge from a variety of fields to improve care, and there are 3 different concepts that are applied within the Learning Model Collaborative in order for our clinics to take everything in. So first and the most obvious are the evidence-based clinical change concepts. We are implementing evidence-based care by capturing this data. The second is about system redesign. The Learning Collaborative utilizes the McCall Institute's chronic care model approach, which has probably in the past and could be its own session about learning about it. But essentially, this is used to design a system so that good care is the outcome. And the main proponent of good care is really patient activation, or having an engaged patient in their own health care and being part of that team. The third strategy is a quality improvement strategy, where clinics implement the Associate for Improvements Model for Improvement Plan Do Study Act, or PDSA. And this cycle really asks 3 questions to change the current system while you're working in it. So what are we trying to accomplish? How will we know that change is an improvement? And what change can we make that will result in improvement? And all 3 of these concepts are put together within a learning model in a way that allows the clinics the ability to implement this framework. So there's a pre-planning session where they gather their team, which could be a variety of people, the physician, the nurse, the medical assistant, the front office staff, if they have an IT and data. But in our rural health clinics, it could just be your office, front office person and your PA, and that's it. So then they come together for 3 in-person learning sessions and 1 final report out event in which we call the Outcomes Congress, and that's really about celebrating the progress that they've made within their clinics. And throughout this whole time, they've been collecting data on a variety of measures. So these are the measures that we have them collect on. There's 6 measure sets that the collaborative focused on, which are all aligned with ISDH priorities, including reducing smoking, obesity, and infant mortality within the state of Indiana. The 3 blue boxes on the screen, the tobacco cessation measures, adult and childhood obesity, and women's health are all required of our clinics to report on. The 2 in the orange boxes are diabetes and hypertension measure sets. We ask them to choose between either set of measures, so just to focus on diabetes or hypertension. And then finally, our preventative cancer screenings to focus on either breast, cervical, or colorectal cancer. And all of these measures are aligned with national accrediting agencies when available. So an example of this of a measure in this case is an A1C greater than 9, which is an indication of poor control in a diabetic patient. And when we collect our denominator in this case, we're pulling the entire panel of patients for 1 participating provider who are ages 18 through 75 with the diagnosis of diabetes as of the last day of the month immediately preceding the reporting month. Our numerator then are patients from the denominator who have an A1C greater than 9, and also there's a caveat of or those who do not have one recorded within the EHR within the 12 months immediately preceding the reporting month. So when we collect our numerator and denominator in this case, it would give us our percentage of adult patients who have an A1C greater than 9 within the previous 12 months. So data is queried on a rolling 12-month basis, and I try to break it down with those colors so that you can see how that works. So June data in this case would reflect May 31st of this past month all the way to June 1st of last year, and again July would be the last day of this month all the way to July 1st of last year. So once data is queried on this monthly basis, the template that we have clinics use, which is just a formatted Excel table, report the data, and they automatically create time series run charts. So here is an example of one of those time series run charts where we have the 12 months on the bottom and the percent of patients of the physician's panel to the left. And this is the percent of patients with a foot exam within the last year. And so I kind of want to give you an example of how the PDSA cycle works. And this is from one of our pilot sites. This is data directly from one of our pilot sites. So they decided to test 5 diabetics who came into their clinic. They put up a sign on the wall and it said, if you have diabetes, please remove your shoes and socks. And that way when the provider entered the room, he would see that this patient didn't have shoes or socks on as an indicator to do a monofilament exam. Two diabetic patients walk in. They take off their shoes and socks because they were told to. The next 2 patients walk in and they don't remove their shoes and socks because they actually didn't know that they were diabetic. Then the last patient walks in and they also don't remove their shoes and socks, and it's because they don't know how to read. So now we have 2 out of 5 patients who have followed the sign on the wall, and 40% rate, we're looking for greater than 50 and hopefully to get that number up to 100%. So then in October, they decide to implement a medical assistance within this process. So when the patient is being placed in the exam room, that the medical assistant will say, we need you to remove your shoes and socks. Once they've implemented this process, 5 out of 5 patients remove their shoes and socks to receive the exam. Then it goes forward, and how do you actually implement this into your workflow as a clinic? So data is collected, like I've said, on a monthly basis for 12 months, and we receive aggregated data for one provider within the clinic. And so I'll share with you the results of our aggregated pilot and cohort 2 results, just some descriptive statistics and the absolute and relative mean percent change within them. So our learning collaborative participants were able to increase the absolute mean percent in patients screened for tobacco use, those who were referred to the quit line, and those who registered with the quit line. Similarly, we saw the mean absolute percentages increase for our patients with diabetes, with the exception of our A1C greater than 9. Because this is an indication of poor control, we want our diabetics to gain control, so we want to see a decrease within this measure, and we see about a little over a half a percent decrease. Our patient screen for hypertension is the one and only measure where we don't see an increase in the absolute mean percent. However, you can see that the screening is done in well over 90% of the patients at the clinics. Similarly, an increase in those who have hypertension and control in a blood pressure. And there are many times when we heard from our teams that they know that they're recording this information and that they're collecting this information and they're putting it in their EHR, but when they go to query the data, the numbers weren't what the teams expected. So this type of information kind of starts the question, are we recording the information in the wrong place? Are we pulling the data from the wrong place? Is it worth getting technical assistance from our EHR vendor, which can sometimes cost thousands of dollars? And I'll just make the note that because clinics were able to choose between hypertension and diabetes, only 6 decided to participate within this, and that we did not adopt hypertension measures, until the second cohort. So here are patient self-management goals setting for adult obesity, childhood obesity, those with diabetes, and who have hypertension. And this is really part of the chronic care model where our clinics start to engage the patient in their own care, really having the patient take control of it. And asking a question, is there anything you'd like to do within the next 1 or 2 weeks that would improve your health care or improve your health? And so maybe the patient comes up with their own goal. I'd really like to cook my own food. I'd really try to make it to the hair salon. Or do they need assistance with a behavioral change menu? And so the hair salon example is actually one that we heard from our clinic. And while that may not seem directly related to their health, you know, maybe it's about getting that patient out of their house setting, out of their nursing home, and talking to other individuals and maybe increasing their mental health. Additionally, with adult and childhood obesity, how do you start talking to patients about a healthy lifestyle or healthy weight, especially their children, which is kind of a sensitive topic and a fine line that physicians walk? Again, women's health, we see increases in both the creation of a women's health profile or a preconception risk assessment and a pregnant woman shared care plan. So it's not that the clinics, again, aren't reporting this data. It's do they have the ability to report it in their EHR? Is there a button for them to click to say, yes, we have talked about these preconception items? Similarly, you can see that only 12 clinics participated in a shared care plan. This is because they did not see pregnant women and referred out to other resources or clinics within the area. So here's our cancer prevention and early detection measures. Again, there are increases across the board of our percent of patients screened. And I will make a note that our third cohort is implementing an HPV screening vaccination to measure both males and females. So like I stated, there were improvements recorded in 20 of the 21 measures, the one being the hypertensive patients who were screened for hypertension. And our clinics noted that participating in the learning collaborative had many benefits. One of them being with the data collection process, while sometimes very difficult, greater ease in reporting for meaningful use, or UDS reporting. Also benefits in peer-to-peer learning. One of our pilot sites was able to successfully implement shared medical appointments for their diabetic patients, specifically regarding the structure and how to bill for that. And they came back for learning session 3 and were able to help other clinics within their pilot. And then we had them come back for cohort 2 and 3 to discuss the same thing. So, of course, there are limitations. The range of the clinic's ability to report data. We had a handful of clinics who are still on paper charts, which may change in the near future due to financial repercussions and requirements. But this is something that we have to deal with. EHR technical difficulties, which I have alluded to, and this is what we've kind of deemed as quality improvement data, or data just good enough, which sounds like nails on a chalkboard to trained epidemiologists, but it's really trying to implement that small rapid cycle change and to see what happens within this year. And then low sample size. We have 27 clinics who have completed this. We have 8 currently going through it. This only touches 1 provider within 1 site. And so we're hoping that additional clinics and providers will join this effort. So clinics also noted that process change techniques by using the PDSA cycle in the learning collaborative not only improved patient outcomes, but often resulted in discovering charting or reporting errors. And correcting these was able to improve patient service and clinic management. So I'd like to acknowledge the individuals who have been detrimental in implementing the learning collaborative, especially those who have participated within the learning collaborative. And that's it. Any questions? Yeah.
I think you were showing me you were getting aggregate data from the clinic.
Yes.
Do you know how many people that's touched within those clinics, what the total sample size was in those cohorts?
Sure. So clinics range from, I think our largest providers panel was 5,000, and those who were sampled, who's used a sampling technique, only used 20 charts. As far as the total, I don't know. I could get back to you. But because it's a rolling 12-month cycle, some individuals get duplicated. Some individuals fall off because they're no longer patients. They moved out of the area. They passed away. But
the hope would be with QI processes going on in clinics that everybody would eventually be impacted by that network.
Correct. And that kind of gets to another point that I wanted to make is our next steps. We're really trying to spread and sustain this process, spreading in different disease states. So if you focused on diabetes, moving on to hypertension, spreading to other providers within the clinic, and then also spreading to other clinics within an organization. So coming down the pipeline, because these are state-funded clinics and because we do fund them, they will be required to report on these measures on a quarterly basis in the next biennium. Any other questions?
Come on.
Or for anybody?
Anybody?
I hope I didn't go over too far. It's break time.
I hope it's break time. I want to thank the presenters for a great job.
Thank you.